B-Pod Studios.
I want to read you something here. So this comes from a great guy who was in the league and knows what he's talking about.
Not Mr. X.
No, not Mr. X. He said, I would cut someone. Send a message.
Shot over to Bow.
Cut 13. He can't hurt you.
Yeah, he can.
What?
You can't cut him right now. Yeah. I get we're angry, but I mean, what do you?
No, this comes from a guy in the league.
Yeah,
the guy that was in the league. Like, they, you know, this is not willy nilly. I'm giving you a guy.
It's Nelly Nelly.
Right. Cut. He can't hurt you. And he got to send a message. And he said, Doug's a little too nice.
Yeah, I just, until you get guys back, you can't cut them because you're cutting off your nose just by your face. I get to send him the message.
Oh, dude, I don't know.
He also got the 9.5 million dead cap.
What good is he if he's dropping first downs?
Yeah, but I mean, who are you going to put there, though?
This is where, like, you got to go get Greg Ward or whatever you got to do, get somebody else.
To me, that would be an overreaction, though, because when you get Deshaun back and you get Alshon back, again, he's like your fourth or fifth option. And in that role, it's okay.
Is he? Is it still okay to drop passes?
No, well, then maybe you can consider cutting him if you got those guys back and they're healthy.
Well, the point is sending a message, and I think he's right. He also said, man, you got, look at your front. You got 4 first or second round picks doing nothing.
Yeah.
91 first rounder, 96 first rounder, 55 first rounder, 75 second rounder.
Yeah, Vinny. Well, Fletcher Cox is not 100%. He's a great player. So they're not doing anything right now because he came back from the foot
surgery.
That's
just the point.
Yeah. But Derek Barnett.
But listen,
this is a huge year.
This is what he.
And it's been.
Look, this is a guy I trust his opinion implicitly. I do. I mean, guy I go to, one of my guys.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. No. And look, that's. We get a little nostalgic sometimes. Like, bringing Brandon Graham back, was that the right move? You know, yeah, he's a fun guy. I get all that. Sometimes it's cold, hard business.
Thank you, 97.5.
Like Andy treated it like a cold, hard business. You reached a certain age or whatever, Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor, boom, gone.
Yeah.
And I draft Sheldon Brown, and I draft Lito Shepard.
Yeah,
You can't be nostalgic in this business.
Well... You know, I hear you.
Anyway, bring Vinny Curry back because he was so great the first time around.
It was interesting just to hear his point of view.
Yeah.
Now I will say this, right? So talking to other people, because I've been screaming and yelling for Howard, right? Like, where's Howard? How come Howard's not running the ball? Like, they had him. I like him when Carson's on the center.
Yeah, me too.
And like, I agree that he can't catch the ball out of the backfield, so. That's a limitation. It's why one of the reasons why Chicago let him go.
Yeah.
Where they're going to keep him.
And why he's not a 3-down back.
Right. But he seems to me, now again, he seems to me the more effective runner than the rookie.
Yeah. So, and Corey Clement out.
So, the question is why. So apparently they're not in love with his vision.
All right.
But I... You know, I'm curious. I mean, do you see? I seem kind of effective. I
see massive amounts of power.
Other than the out of the backfield catching the ball, where certainly Miles Sanders is 100 times better. We saw yesterday.
Yep.
Out of the backfield, he was effective, Miles Sanders. But as far as a runner and getting the ground game charged up. Isn't he the better?
It's not even close.
I mean, you want to talk about vision. It's not like Miles Sanders is hitting every hole that's there.
No, he's stringing everything out.
There was a couple runs in the second half that that were effective by Miles Sanders. But I actually thought it was more of a case of...
Tired D-line play.
Yeah.
It was guys were standing up.
It was. They were on the field a lot. Yep. They were hot. Remember, the Eagles got extra possessions. And so I thought... that was the product of that.
Yep, I agree with you. And I mean, you saw the run that that Jordan Howard had, and he absolutely destroyed the tackler. He just blew up the guy's body, like went into convulsions when he hit him because he hit him so hard.
Yeah,
that was the drive where he had 4 carries on that 8-yard drive, and they get a touchdown.
Yeah,
and then he goes back into the Whitner's protection program, and again, I don't want to sit here and blame Deuce Staley. I know he's the running back coach. It's on the head coach, ultimately. Yeah.
See, you know what's funny? Like, I liked, so Howard comes on the field, and it was a great play call by Doug. It was a play action. If you remember, Carson's under center, and Howard's in the game. And it was a play action, and they go down the field. And it was a great play call. It was a great play call. But, you know, I mean, you still, why don't you feed that?
Yeah.
You can feed it. You can work off of that even more.
Yeah.
I still remember going back to when they first got him, you had a little scouting report on Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
You said that he's a volume guy. He needs multiple carries to get going.
Yeah.
So that second quarter where he scores that touchdown.
Chicago, yeah.
Where he scores that touchdown, he had, you said, 4 carries, 18 yeah. yards, and a touchdown. And then he doesn't play again until like the fourth quarter. And at that point, his legs are probably stiff. Because yeah. it's been 2 quarters since he's got a carry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, wasn't he on that play action was in the third quarter?
Okay, yeah, he was on the field at that point.
Right, but you didn't get a carry. It was a play action, yeah.
But you look at it, he's got 25 rushes on the season. He had 11 this week, but he's been underutilized. And you consider the fact that Corey Clement was hurt, so you didn't have him in your rotation. Didn't use Sproles really a lot in running situations. When the line got tired, they did a little bit. But
just when because you're struggling so much
yeah.
on the outside scuffling. With your receivers, you know.
Sanders gets 13 carries. He ended up with 1 yard average. And 53 yards because he had that long one, the fourth that you brought it up, and that was more a byproduct that their defensive line yeah. was gassed at that.
He also had two fumbles.
Yeah, well, yeah, he lost one that he put the ball on the ground twice.
Well, I brought this up yeah. yesterday during the postgame show. He's had now 21 carries in his career. 21 carries. The first 2 weeks, even though they weren't listed as fumbles, remember the exchange from Carson to Sanders?
Yeah.
Twice he put the ball on the ground. He recovered it, but they don't list those as fumbles. He's put the ball on the ground 4 times in 21 yeah, carries.
That's an issue.
And it's 4 times in 21 carries?
Yeah, that's not a good percentage.
No!
Damon in West Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Jason? What's up, Cuz?
So, my brother.
Man, I had the same feeling you did as far as football. You and I are the same age. I'm like, maybe I'm getting too old for this after the game, Cuz. I was just distraught. Here's a few things I wanted to ask you guys. It seems as though every time we get down 10-6 or about 4 points or 6 points, Doug, early in the game goes pass happy. Am I wrong in my assessment?
No.
And what's so frustrating is you have in order okay, you know you're down your main receivers, right? So to help everyone out, establish that running game. I'm gonna even take it a step further, Jason. When we had the 3 timeouts late in the fourth quarter, I believe, and this is the first time before Doug decided to go for it on 4th and 8 or whatever. I felt as though we could have ran the ball once or twice then while Carson was moving the ball. So, to me...
How about after, like, they blocked the field goal, you're in midfield.
Exactly, because even that point, we should have ran the ball. And I'm for the life of me, I'm not understanding. Listen, I texted out yesterday, Shady McCoy looks great. He looked great yesterday.
Yeah.
Because they're running the ball. They got a slinger over there in Kansas City, right?
Yep.
But somebody found a way to run the ball. The formula for Thursday, and I know you guys are ready to discuss that game, but I'm going to have to jump the gun because this game just put a bad taste in my mouth. 2 things I want to make. You run the ball because now you're moving the chains. You can establish play action. It keeps the defense fresh, and it keeps Rodgers off the field.
Boom.
The other thing?
Yep.
The other thing, Cuz, I like to see happen. But I don't want to jump the gun because it's a long season. I've had enough of this wide nine. Listen, I'm going over to McDermott over in Buffalo and asking somebody off of his defensive staff. I want that defense back, cuz.
Yeah.
I want it back.
You had a chance, yeah. though. You had
yeah,
your chance.
Preach, Damon. Great call, by
That's
the way.
That's the problem. You had your chance. I mean, I don't want to say it, but, you know, because I have an agenda.
You like Sean?
Yeah, no. I love Sean, right?
Yeah.
No, but that whole idea about the wide nine and Schwartz, you know, I mean, he wins the Super Bowl, even though he didn't, it wasn't a defense, you weren't going to make a change. As much as we all get frustrated with how he plays it, you weren't going to make a change. You know, listen, quite frankly, you had a guy sitting and living here down the shore, out of work for 2 years that you could have went and got.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, if you wanted to make a move, you could have had Spags. You know, you want that defense. That's, you know, Jim basically willed that defense to him.
Yeah.
But but whatever.
He was the understudy.
Yep.
610-632-0975. Wow, what a frustrating day. What? And to Dame's point, we're going to have to turn a page quickly here. These players better turn the page quick.
I know. But here, you know, coming up, I want to talk to Martelli because he thinks we're overreacting
to the loss.
And I got to tell you, I'm very frustrated.
I saw a few. It's only week three tweets today.
Yeah,
and they're right on the surface.
Let's discuss it because you know, it's a fine line between what is overreacting, what's not, and how to be, and if you're okay to be angry. I'm livid, all right? Mm-hmm. Livid because they shouldn't be in this spot.
And it's Detroit, and you lost at home.
Well, we'll discuss.
610-632.
The idea of overreacting.
0975. Coming up at noon, we'll also hear from Doug Peterson. We'll give you his day-after press conference in its entirety. Stay tuned. This is the Midday Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, no, I mean, these guys, it's a good group. Talked about them after the game. This is not a defining moment for our season at all. Again, only three games in, but we got to get some things fixed. We know that. And we're working on a short week this week.
Yeah, look, it's all about Green Bay. It's all about the Packers. You said, you know, you got to win the game and all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
Easier said, man. You know,
it's a tough spot.
It's a brutal spot. Brutal.
Yeah, really.
Only because that Thursday travel, man, quick week. History shows you it's so hard to go on the road. And this is a, you know, you're still, now you're flying. This is a time zone deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to get on the
time zone, short week combination. Not a good combo.
And you're playing that quarterback. If you can't rush that quarterback and you can't blitz him, because he just will kill you.
Yep.
Like, I'm so deathly afraid of this secondary. And see, that's why I'm not overreacting, right? I'm not overreacting because you had to beat Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Else you got this dude, you're staring down the barrel, and it's a must win, and the matchups just don't favor you.
Yeah.
And if you go to 1-3, yeah, the season's not over, but you've now dug the hole.
Mm-hmm. With a backhoe, and not with a shovel. You dug a deep hole.
And you got tough games. Yeah. It's not like you don't have tough games. Yeah. You're going to start reeling off guys, reeling off wins.
Yeah, and to go, well, the Packers haven't played anybody. Two of their three wins have come against quality opponents in Chicago and then Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, listen, say what you want. Do I think they're a great 3-0 team? No.
No.
But they're still, that's a good team with a great quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is the matchup as well, and that quarterback versus these corners, and no pressure from the front.
That's why I'm freaking out.
Yeah, and think about it. You don't get pressure on him, you're dead. They got two sacks in three games.
I know, and
come on.
It's hard to blitz him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he'll read it, and he'll expose you like that.
I know. I know. It looked like Stafford exposed them a couple times. Schwartz made one great call where he backed out of the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same play, if you remember.
Fletch the week before.
Of the offense, the Julio Jones play that brings to the house. Stafford checks to the quick screen,
mm-hmm.
the flash pass. And they backed out of the blitz. So it was a great call to back out of the blitz to show it.
Yeah.
And then back out, and they made the tackle right away. They were right up on the line of scrimmage. But, you know, you got to do better disguise because Stafford picked it up a few times.
All right. As a guy, you talk to tons of guys around the league, defensive coordinators. And why have we not, with a guy like Miles Sanders or Jordan Howard even, or Sproles, seen any screen game?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got offensive linemen that love to get out and run.
I know.
You know?
It's like they almost forgot that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like they forgot
about it. Such an effective play, too. You know, Doug comes from Andy's system, and nobody ran more screens than Andy.
I know.
And you have the backs that are great screen backs.
Yeah.
And an offensive lineman with a center in Kelsey that can get out and run the field. Like, why is that not happening?
Yeah.
I can't remember, call a screen pass that I've seen all season.
Yeah.
Of any effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not acceptable.
I know. I'm with you.
Boy.
I'm with you.
And this offense is going to have to control the ball against Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, listen, it's a tough, I mean, this is going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
Tough game. Let's get that Martelli up here.
Yeah, let's go to Martelli. Checking in from Brooklyn. He's on the Fanatic. Hey, Martelli.
What's up, brother?
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Listen, just fellas. Here's where I say people sure. overreact. And I'm not saying you guys in particular, but I'm hearing things ranging from what happened to Fletcher Cox, $100 million man. You're making that kind of scratch. Why aren't you playing? The truth is the truth. People are letting facts. They don't want to let the facts just, you know, stand as they are. Fletcher was spent the whole offseason doing individual drills. No training camp, nothing. Mm-hmm. His foot is hurt. It's just a fact. It's not an excuse. Yeah. It's a fact.
Yeah.
He forgot how to play all of a sudden. No. I'm hearing things like Carson Wentz is no good. The guy had 7 drops. He's not going
to
be perfect.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to react to that. But let me ask you this, because you know what you're talking about. I'm really upset at that loss because it puts you in a hole, man. Like, you got to now go play Green Bay. We were just outlining how difficult the prospects are with this secondary going to play Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But what we also have to realize is, and I know you do yourself, being the astute man that you are, that this is 4 quarters in a season. We're still in the first quarter. If we do go 1-3 in the first quarter, we still have 3 other quarters to fill in the blanks. We get our guys back. The main thing is getting our guys back. Not having Tim Jernigan and Malik Jackson is hurting us a lot more.
You're totally right, Martelli.
It's hurting us a lot more than people realize. So now what we have to do is this. Get our guys back. Wentz is going to be the man that he is because we've seen it. We can see it. Even though he's not perfect, but we know what we see when we see Wentz out on the field. Yeah. Get our guys back. Doug decides to freaking run the ball a little bit more. Another thing, I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that they don't like the fact that his vision, Jordan Howard's vision, isn't what it's supposed to be. There's actual truth to the fact that they wanted Melvin Gordon. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And they inquired about Shady.
Without a doubt. You're dead right. And there is something there when it comes, and the reason why the Bears let him go. My only point in using Howard is that he's effective between the tackles. Like, and I think he's a fit with this line that likes to go down the field and hit people.
Absolutely.
You know, when Wentz is on the center.
Absolutely, but the thing is that our offense is a type of offense where we need guys to be versatile.
Yeah,
and looking at Howard, you can see he cannot catch the ball.
Oh, without a doubt.
He would never get up the field like
that. But still, Martelli, in the Super Bowl year, you had a guy in LeGarrette Blount who wasn't exactly versatile.
Right, true.
There's a role for that guy, a downhill runner, you know, a snot knocker, that's going to make guys, you know, make it punish tacklers. Jordan Howard punishes tacklers. You saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
He destroyed that guy. Destroyed him.
I know.
You don't think that reverberates to a defense going, boy, I'm going to be careful tackling this dude. And then it pays dividends beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, was LeGarrette Blount? He's a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Between the tackle runner.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go to Sam in Seattle. He's on the Fanatic. What's up, Sammy?
Anthony, what's going on here, bro?
Sammy, man,
Hey, it's been a tough year for Philly sports from what the Sixers put us through and Gabe Kapler's Phillies put us through. It's going to be a long winter, man. It's early. I hope Doug fixes this. This is off to a horrible start, man.
I know. No, it's an awful start. To lose to the Lions at home is an awful start.
There's a couple of things I don't want to hear the rest of the season. I got to see it. First, what I don't want to see is Matt Collins catches 7-yard pass and he's down 10 and he flexes.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. I guess.
You're totally right.
I ain't got time for that. And I don't want to see people talk about, oh, we could move on from Ertz because we got Goddard. No, we don't got Goddard. Good players don't drop that catch. That was so wide open. That was such a good play. You're down. You don't drop that catch. And one more thing that I don't get is, Isn't the kid out of Stanford, Orzanga Whiteside, isn't he supposed to be like a jump jump
yeah,
on
Yeah, he's a hands guy. He's supposed to be a hands guy.
That's the exact play that he should come down with.
Yes.
You didn't put him in a position to do something. You didn't put him in a position to do something that he's not supposed to do, that he's not good at. You put him in that exact position, and he just still didn't get it done.
And I know I called you the other time, Anthony, and I knew you told me that in the film it looks a bit different. One more thing I don't want to hear is that Derek Barnett has a bend. How about you bend yourself to a sack?
Bend into a sack.
Thank you,
I hear you, man.
The fact that they got one sack from the defensive line this year, and that came from Tim Jernigan, who's unavailable, by the way, and the other one comes from Zendejo.
Yeah.
And that Derek Barnett, he's got nothing. He's got as many. Barnett, Brandon Graham, and Fletcher Cox have as many sacks as me and you.
Yeah.
None.
You know, we were talking about.
Fletch has as many tackles yesterday as me and you, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we were talking about the Lions picking up the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you go. This is from Ron Jaworski. When the Eagles blitzed Matt Stafford, 8 snaps, 62% completion, 10.1 yards attempt, touchdown, and 135.9 passer rating.
That's Stafford. Imagine Rodgers.
No blitz, base rush. 25 snaps, 54% completion, 5 yards, no touchdown, 68.1 passer rating. Now, it's fascinating, right? It's really interesting because...
Poorly designed blitz.
Yeah, and you go, well, that's 8. There was only 8 blitzes, and they were ineffective, largely ineffective. But they still got, even though the numbers and the 25 snaps weren't great, the problem was they still were able to move the football.
Yeah, and convert. You know? Boy, imagine hearing those numbers from Jaws, and they're great. A great breakdown from Jaws. We know he watches, he's knows how to break down the film. Imagine that against Aaron Rodgers. This is Matt Stafford. Imagine what he's going to do if you ineffectively blitzed Aaron Rodgers. You're dead. His quarterback rating will be 158.3.
Sensational. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
June in Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, June?
Hey, what's up, fellow?
Hey, June.
Very, very, very depressed because we lost to Detroit. Not just at home. You don't lose to Detroit at all.
Nope.
And I think since the Super Bowl, everybody has given Howie a pass. He gets no pass from me. Super Bowl is old to me. I want to win a Super Bowl every year. So going forward, he got to do something. Because I'm looking at him with a side eye with his talent. Because if we lose his 2 players, that means there's no other talent on his team. And you know, we got high aspirations of winning the bowl again. But if you just lose 1 or 2 players and we fall off that bad, it's depressing, man. This day is I'm driving around now and I'm back on the road working. And I got to ride through different states. And, I am a Birds fan for life. But I live.
I know. The problem, too, is like, you know, you can't, and Martelli said it, you're not going to give up early, but it's a major blow. Like, I had a weird hunch. I brought this up to Andrew one time about the 2-2 start. Like, you know, what if they did start off at 2-2? How would we react? But 2-2 is not 1-3, and 1-3, especially, it makes it worse that all the Cowboys are doing is just running through everybody, and it just makes it a ton worse for you.
Yeah, because you know I got the family members that's Cowboy lovers that's trolling me, you know, with the memes and all that stuff. But the thing is, like, I know we light years better than the midgets, and we're tied with them right now.
Wow.
It's unacceptable.
And their quarterback play well.
They let him do a monster comeback.
Unacceptable. As in, yeah. I'm not getting off the bandwagon because I'm not a bandwagon fan. I bleed green. So they got to get it together. Like, you know what I mean? You got to catch the ball. And I feel like I'm ready to call Miss Tui, a.k.a. Sandra Bullock, and make her call Doug on the sideline. Run the ball!
Yeah.
Run the dang ball!
Yeah.
Please!
Yeah. I
want to beat Green Bay Thursday night so everybody can shut up. Oh, the Eagles are back. We ain't going nowhere.
I know.
Come on. Play ball. Catch the ball. Tackle. Get a set. Take that 1-9 and make it a 4.5.
Yeah,
I
know, bro.
Great call, June. And you're dead right. Like, I got a tweet from a guy yesterday, Tommy DeFish. He goes, I only have 2 days off a week. Why should I waste one of them watching this team? Yeah. I'm not throwing in the towel. I said, if you don't want to watch them, don't watch them. It's only 3 games into the season.
Yeah, but you know what it is. It's frustration. Yeah. People are allowed to be frustrated at 1-2 with the way it played out. I mean, these receivers, it's mind-boggling to me because, like, you know they're backups. Okay. But you're a professional wide receiver, and the ball's hitting you in the hands. I mean, what are you supposed to say to that? There's no excuse. Now, listen.
Some of those passes were beautiful.
I begged for them to get rid of Aguilar. Mm-hmm. All right? I begged they get rid of Aguilar. He's now cost you 2 games. But, like, Dallas got it? How does that happen?
Yeah.
Arcega Whiteside? How does that happen? Back how? Like, I get, like, your backup, and you still got to catch the balls in your hands.
Yeah.
Balls in your hands. Dallas Goedert's got a touchdown.
Mm. Andrew just put this on the board from Bleeding Green Nation. The last 10 times the Eagles started 1-2, 6 of those times they made the playoffs. The last 10 times they started 2-2, 9 of those 10 they made the playoffs. Last 10 times they started 1-3, they made the playoffs just one time.
Ooh. Well, so, it's hard, you know.
It's one of those things, Ant. In football, and maybe that's the reason why the line is 4.5, and it opened to 3 against the Packers on Thursday night in Green Bay, where they've never lost on a Thursday night. But the one thing you can't ever manufacture in football is urgency, and the Eagles better have it this week. We heard them talk about it after the game, about urgency. Wentz talked about it.
Dude, the only thing I'm afraid of is that the urgency isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, anybody else but the Packers and Green Bay and Rodgers on a short week. Anybody else.
Yeah.
Anybody else.
Lane Johnson went back to the us against the world thing yesterday.
So did Brandon Graham. This don't define us. He's walking off the field yelling at. Well, dude, how about a sack?
See, here's
I'd like
thing.
To define you by a sack, you don't got one.
But here's the thing. All right.
You know what I mean?
Listen, people booed yesterday.
Rightfully so.
All right. They were you can't get mad at the fan base for the fan base booing or criticizing you after these two losses that were so close. It's tough. Yesterday's loss, like the Falcons is one thing. I wasn't angry. Did you hear? I didn't rant and rave on Monday after the Falcons game. Tough game. I thought they played their hearts out.
Yeah, disappointed but encouraged.
Yesterday, they didn't play their hearts out. They didn't. There wasn't enough on both sides of the ball. The only one who continues to play hard now, and I can't believe he would get an ounce of blame, is the quarterback.
Yeah.
Dive in, trying to do whatever he can to try to will them to win.
Here's the deal. You go 1-3, you're talking about that number, 10 times they started 1-3. I don't know what the numbers are here, Andrew, but if I look at the 1-3, if that does happen, they lose Thursday, you're not only 1-3. But you got 3 losses in the conference.
Yeah.
You have 3 conference. None of these are against AFC teams.
No, it's a killer because that's a wild card tiebreaker killer.
And what's going to be a very tight NFC. It's going to be tight. Whew, man. They better straighten this out. And that urgency better be there on Thursday. Doug better have a game plan of his life. For Thursday.
Now, listen.
And these receivers, we got to give them some stick 'em.
Now, listen, he's pulled off magic before.
Well, they went last year to L.A.
Right.
Huge dog.
They're magic guy. Like, Doug pulls off the magic.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what we got to bank on. Got to bank on Doug pulling out a rabbit.
Frankly, I don't want to hear this message from the players of nobody believes in us, you know, insinuating that the fans don't believe in them.
No.
I don't even want to hear that.
No, listen, stop. We all know BS. How much they care about.
We all we got, we all we need.
Yeah, that's BS.
Here's the deal. You walk around this town on a Sunday morning, all you see is green.
Yep.
I meant to bring this up last week because I went to this last Sunday, not yesterday. I went to the supermarket. And, you know, don't know me, like, when I tell you 9 out of 10 people had something Eagles, and it was packed. You know, Sunday supermarket's always packed.
The supermarket's ensconced in green.
9 out of 10 people in green. Not women, like, you know that there's a ton of female Eagles. Like, ton of women who love it, right? I didn't expect even more. Like, there were just, it was 9 out of 10, you know, guy, girl together.
Yeah, and double in hat and shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't want to hear, like, the fans and all stuff. You know what? Fans didn't drop any balls. Nope. Fans didn't not sack Stafford. You gotta wise up on that nonsense.
Yeah, stop going to that same rhetoric. We believe in you. But give us something to believe in.
Yeah, we're allowed to grouse.
Yeah. 610-632-0975, top of the hour. Doug Peterson's Day After Press Conference here on the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, you gotta do me this, do me sound, because one of the most amazing things happened over the weekend. Did you see the guy that was amazing? What a hero. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was catching the babies.
Oh, out of a burning building.
I mean, it's like, you know, heroism, that it's incredible. But take a listen. You got the news clip, right? What channel is it from?
CBS.
All right, take a listen to this story. It's unbelievable.
I seen a guy hanging out the window, you know, screaming at his kids was in there and things like that. So I ran to the back door, see if it was open, and it was. I ran upstairs, and I was greeted with smoke. I ran back downstairs. By that time, the ladder truck was pulling up. And ironically, one of my old coworkers took the ladder off the truck, raised it up, and was assisting people down. My man just started throwing babies out the window. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
Oh, man.
Unlike Aguilar, first of all, God bless the fire department.
Yeah, that dude's a hero, man.
These guys are the best. I love the firefighters. I mean, they're the true men, man. They are heroes, and God bless God bless them, man. What great, great heroes. But the greatest of it all is that he ends the conversation by saying, "We were catching them, unlike Aguilar."
Yeah,
unlike Aguilar.
Wow,
that's one of the great, like.
The awareness that guy has is unbelievable, by the way.
But let me ask you a question. All seriousness.
Is that guy available Thursday?
But all came aside. How does he... Like, if you're Nelson Aguilar, like, this whole thing went viral.
Yeah.
You're the butt of, like, in the great, American story of catching burning babies from a burning house building. You're the butt of the joke.
Yeah. It's amazing.
How do you come back from that?
Well, he'll put out a tweet saying he's going to be better this week.
I think you got to do like my man says, and you got to just get rid of him. You got to send a message.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that right now. Not yet.
I'm sure.
By the way, it looks like,
how much is enough?
Just seeing this story coming across right now, it looks like Saquon Barkley's going to be out several weeks.
Yeah, high ankle sprain.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good for the gents. Did you see the guy on Jeopardy, too, by the way, that risked 41-33? Did you see that?
No.
What was it, in Final Jeopardy, Andrew?
I guess. I just saw the clip.
Daily Double?
Yeah, but he risked $4,133.
Because of the Super Bowl score, 41-33.
That's awesome.
He's an Eagle fan.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and then some of these players have the stones to say, us against the world. You got guys on Jeopardy risking the Super Bowl winning score. You got this guy saving babies from a burning building and throwing a dig at Aguilar. And they don't care.
Yeah, I don't want to hear. The last thing I really want to hear right now is us against the world and stuff. Stop. Yeah.
Let's go back to coming up in 6 minutes. We're going to get to Doug Peterson's Day After Press Conference. Frankly, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Dwayne in Richmond's on the Fanatic. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. So I got a question for you. So now what do we do with the running back position? I mean, I heard Anthony, you know, you guys talked about Jordan Howard. They're not liking his vision. He's clearly not getting enough playing time. Miles Sanders just right now is either not it or not ready. Corey Clement is on the shelf. You can't use Darren Sproles but for so many plays. So my question is, what are we going to do moving forward at the running back position?
Well, it's a great question because it's clear that they're not in love with Howard, right? So I kind of hear that they're not in love with his vision. But the kid isn't ready yet, right? Like, Miles Sanders, I don't think, even though you saw a couple flies here and there, I don't think he's ready to carry the load.
I don't either.
So I would go, again, not knowing what they know with, like, Howard's vision. I don't know. He looks fine to me, right? But what do I know? I'm not there with them. So, but go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
And it's been your point a couple segments ago when you was talking about Dalvin Cook. I remember that draft, and you were hammering in Dalvin Cook. We was talking about Alvin Kamara. That draft was actually a good draft for running back.
Yes,
and
it was.
We go and take Donnell. I mean, look at Marlon Mack. He was a sixth or fifth round pick, you know. But, hopefully the Eagles will start taking the running back position more seriously because it continues to bite us in the butt every year except for that Super Bowl year. Mm-hmm. So, but, hey, we just
That year, too, Dwayne, they went out and got Jay Ajayi.
Jay Ajayi, right.
Yeah.
Right. So, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
All right. So is the real issue, because, look, the run game is one thing, but without Deshaun, and I'm afraid about Deshaun and that whole hernia situation, I still think they got it. They need dependable receiving.
Mm.
Right.
Right? I mean,
Right. Yeah, I'm nervous, guys. You know, Green Bay is going to be a tough out, but I ain't feeling it. So, anyway.
Yeah, the fan base definitely has the urgency. We just hope the players show up Thursday night at Lambeau Field with that same urgency. Now, Anthony, TD Sports Betting, the king of the NHL, alerts me to a tweet. Let me take you back to March 10th, 2017, from the Fanatic Twitter account. It says, quote, "I would go Dalvin Cook with the first pick at 14. I like Sidney Jones, but I want a complete running back." Who said that? Anthony L. Gargano. Back in 2017. Let's go to Suzanne in Mount Airy on the Fanatic. What's up, thanks, Suzanne?
Brother. Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Suzanne.
All right. I'm all the way up in the Poconos, so I started with you guys in Philly, and I'm in the Poconos, so if I lose you, sorry.
Okay.
Two quick things. I played basketball all my life, and I really feel the pains of wet. You know, it's like losing your whole basketball team and you just have the point guard. I mean, she can make passes, but the people who are used to catching them aren't there. And it's really painful to watch. I feel, everybody wants to throw the hammer down on him, but it's not him. It's the fact that, he doesn't have anything to throw it to.
Yeah.
Yesterday was disappointing. I love Ertz. He did nothing, and he just kept putting his head down. It's like he was already defeated by the third quarter.
Yeah.
He had a big drop, too, and that's just out of character, Suzanne.
Exactly, and I think that's why he had his head down. He just felt defeated, And I know Cox is hurt, but come on. He didn't have one stat, not one.
Yeah.
Wentz
had two tackles. Cox had none.
Right, why be out there? If you can't do that, then don't go out.
Yeah, I know.
Wait till you're stronger to come in. All
well, right, what's the other? But you got to consider what's the other option.
I hear you. Trust me, I hear you. But
yeah.
If we're playing this crappy, rest his ass. Sorry, I cursed. Rest him.
Yeah. I get you. But the problem is that you're so thin.
Yeah.
Suzanne, that's the biggest issue, is that these injuries have really taken a toll.
If you got Malik Jackson and Tim Jernigan, you go, okay, then you can talk to me about that.
Right.
I mean, who's the guy, the pass rusher in preseason? I can't remember his name on the top of my head.
Deshaun Hall.
Yeah. He can't get in the game?
I hear you on that. I do. I hear you on that. And, see, the problem for us, and we're dying to, we want answers. We're frustrated. The whole thing. The injuries have crippled them.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness to Schwartz, the they have crippled his front. Like, what is supposed to make your ends is your interior.
Yep.
And your interior line was supposed to be dominant, and it loses two major cogs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.